Well, as Sarah said, you know, I'm so excited to preach this message today, but it's the same, right? Every time we have the opportunity to stand on this platform, you know, hard is that we wouldn't waste a moment, that we would be prayed up, fired up, ready to go, that we would have spent time searching the scriptures, making sure that what we're about to preach is what is going to help the community, the village, the church. And that's where we're at this morning. So my prayer is this, always the same. I know I haven't had the privilege of meeting every single one of you. And if I still haven't met you, come say hello. I might not know your story, but I do know and believe that your future is secure in Christ as we continue to walk and find ourselves at his feet. Amen. So my prayer is that we would walk out different to the way we came in, with a greater understanding of who he is, how we're called to live, because Sundays aren't for Sundays, they're for Mondays. This is about being filled up so we can pour out during the week. Yeah? This isn't just to make us feel good. We have purpose, we have a calling, and God has set us apart. Amen? So, Lord, we pray that this morning, Lord, that you would have your way, that you would speak. Lord, that we would all have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing. Lord, that you'd use me to communicate what I believe that you would have for the church right now. So, Lord, over to you, because we are nothing without you. We need you. So have your way this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, have you ever had those moments where songs just go through your head? I don't know if you're anything like me, but I feel like my life's a bit of a musical every once in a while, and songs just come in that represent different seasons or different things. I like songs. Ever since I was young, I've always loved songs. I've always loved singing along songs. Our kids know that. We have playlists every time we get in the car. We have playlists. There's a slight argument because our kids still haven't understood the fact that 90s songs are better than any other era, but we're working on that. They will see. The scales will fall off their eyes one day and they'll know the truth. But my life is like that, you know, and often through life there's different things. I'm happy to give you a report that I have indoctrinated my kids of some of the greatest songs like MC Hammer, Pray, Vanilla Ice, the important staples in life, you know, all those kind of things. But then you look at the songs these days, but things represent, I love them, and I know my kids think it gets a little bit cheesy every once in a while, but I love the new Forrest Frank song about lemonade. You know, life gives you lemons, but my Jesus, he be making lemonade. I love it. I always think of, Matt Collier's little boy. I feel like he's got it down. Luke has got it on point, you know. But there's all these different things, but I love it because there's different little snippets of different songs that just get stuck in your head and they just overplay over and over and over and over again. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not so good. You know, I'm going to play you a song in a moment, and I want you to remember this. I'm not in any way vouching for the person's life or the genre or, you know, let's just keep it kingdom in this moment. Hey? Yeah, don't send me an email. If you do, just send it to tony@curatechurch.com. He'd be happy to get back to you at any moment. But yeah, I'm not vouching for secular music. I'm just saying that things get stuck in your head and sometimes they're good. So I think you'll understand once you hear this. This gets constantly stuck in my head and has so for years. Let's play this.
I'm gone. Praise him. Praise him till I'm gone. I'm gone. Praise him. Praise him till I'm gone. When the praises go up,
the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.
How good is it? Isn't it great? Has anyone heard that song before? No, there's like four people. We're going to educate you. We're going to hand little tracks out at the end. I love it. I love it. I'm going to praise you. Praise him till I'm gone. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. You know, it's a song by Chance the Rapper. And again, I'm not speaking into who he is. But I know there's a lot of scripture through his songs. But I love that thought. I love the thought of when the praises go up, the blessings come down. You know, but the truth is, what's blessings? Because if we're not careful as Christians, or sometimes as a group of Christians, we can just think that blessings is cash money. Like you throw up praises and instantly starts raining down. It's not exactly like that. You know, you look at the dictionary definition of blessing. It says the act of words or of person who blesses, a special favor, mercy or benefit, a favor or gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness, the invoking of God's favor upon a person. Praise, devotion, worship, especially grace, said before a meal, approval or good wishes. But in a biblical context, blessing goes a little bit deeper, goes a little bit further. In a biblical context, a blessing is a divine favor, gift, or empowering from God, involving spiritual, material, and sometimes temporal prosperity, protection, and well-being. It represents God's grace and is a sign of his approval and presence, often leading to the ability to fulfill God-given purposes. See, in the Old Testament, it often did refer to blessings as divine promises and a core part of God's covenant with his people, including promises of descendants, land, and a special relationship with God. But in the New Testament, the emphasis in the New Testament shifts towards spiritual benefits derived from the gospel and faith. You think about the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is my favorite portion of scripture. It's Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And you read through it, it said, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. And it goes through and it gives keys. If you want to live blessed, this is the posture in which your way should go. That's what blessings. So if you think about that, the title of my message this morning is when the praises go up, the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, is Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read a portion called the Fall of Jericho. I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but Joshua chapter 6. And as you go there, I want to give a bit of context to what's taking place. By the time we get to Joshua chapter 6, a lot's taken place. You see, God had chosen a people, set them apart. You would be my people and I'll be your God and I'll take care of you. I'll prosper you. I will be with you. I'll never forsake you. Now, as we understand it in the New Testament, because of what Jesus has done, what John spoke so brilliantly about, we're all God's chosen people. We understand that now. But in the Old Testament, it was a group of people. And he set them apart. But people being people, they turned their back on God. They walked away from God. They grumbled against God. They didn't want him anymore. So they found themselves in slavery. They found themselves in the land of Egypt and slaves to the Egyptians. But then they cried out to God, because that's what we often do, right? When things don't go our way, we're like, Lord. And in his absolute love and kindness and grace, he met with them. And he sent Moses, and I'm sure hopefully you've watched again, another great Disney movie. Let's go. Prince of Egypt, just in case you wanted to, you know, just making, it wasn't Cars or Monsters, Inc. Oh no, that's Pixar. Sorry, getting confused. And he sent Moses, said, let my people go. And all through these incredible miracles, they found themselves out, released by the Egyptians. They went through the Red Sea. They went into the desert. But then in the desert, again, they grumbled against God. They turned away from him. And I mean, that's a whole nother thing, right? The Bible's clear that it says by day there was a cloud that gave them shade, and at night a pillar of fire to keep them warm. It says each day there was manna on the ground, bread from heaven, and still they grumbled against God. Still they forgot. They're like, God, where are you? And he's like, what about the cloud? What about the fire? What about the food each day? But then God said, fine, if you want to be like that, if you want to be like that, every single one of you that have no faith, you're not going to make it in the promised land. And he drew a line in the sand. So what did that mean? It meant that a journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. They walked around the desert until it was time. But 2 years into being in the desert of the 40 years, they sent spies to the promised land just so they could survey it, what it would look like. And I'd encourage you to read it. You know, I'd encourage you to read through the Bible. I'd encourage you to make sure that the Word of Life is something that is nourishing your life. So don't just make sure that the only scripture you hear, make sure it's not just on Sundays, right? It's like eating once a week and thinking you're going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. You've got to eat multiple times a day. So I'd encourage you. So don't just take my word for it. Go and look it up. Go and read the scriptures for yourselves. But as it would, they went in, they surveyed the promised land, and then for the next 38 years, they prepared for war because war was coming. So they had the mighty man prepare for war, and it got to the point where 38 years later, it was time to go to war. And the Lord said to Joshua, it's time. So they collected the 40,000 fighting men, and they went to a place called Jericho, which was known as an impregnable city. And the Lord gave them the battle plan of what they should do, how they should do it, how they're going to see the victory. You see, the other thing I want to give you is a side note. You know, the enemy doesn't care what you do with your life as long as you don't get to the promised land. You get that, right? So he doesn't care if you walk around the desert. He doesn't care if you go back to Egypt. He just doesn't want you to move forward. Does that make sense? So walking around the desert, he was fine with that. Going back to Egypt, fine with that as well. He just doesn't want you to move forward. He just doesn't want you to move into the call of God upon your life. Just a little side note, just wanted to make sure you're aware of. But let me read you the fall of Jericho in verse 1. It says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests giving one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls will fall down and the people can charge straight into the town. And then it goes through. You can read it later. In verse 15, we'll pick it up. It said, on the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast of their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed. And you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, and iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into the treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight in into the town and captured it. It's a pretty amazing story. And you read that story and you're like, unbelievable. But can you imagine being there? Imagine being there when this took place. Imagine being one of the mighty men. You, for the last 38 years, have been preparing. You've been preparing for battle. You've been training. You've got abs upon abs, kind of similar to my physique. And wow. That was way too many laughs. But, you know, people have been training the whole time. You know, I've got friends in Australia that are in the elite forces, and regardless of what I feel, those that are in elite forces, those that have been training the whole time, they look forward to deployment. And now I'm not here to say either here or there or what that means, but they look forward to deployment because they've spent years upon years practicing for those moments. So you can imagine these mighty men, they wouldn't have been fearful. They would have been excited to go to war because for them, this is what they'd been preparing for. And the Lord also said that he was going to give them the land. So again, they were going to be part of something amazing. But then imagine being told, hey, this is the game plan. Guys, we're just going to walk around. What? Just once each day. We're going to walk around, and then on the 7th day, it's going to get crazy. We're going to do it 7 times. But the priests are going to go first, and they're going to blow a trumpet horn. That's it. You're like, what? Can you imagine what they would be thinking, what they'd be feeling? But you see, what you got to understand, Jericho, and if you do a bit of research, context on the city of Jericho, it was known as an impregnable city, a city that could not be breached. So historians would suggest there was only three possible ways to breach this city. The first was that they would dig underneath the city and come right through the other way, which again would result in a heck of a lot of casualties as you get closer. And it would have taken a really long time. Second of all, they starved the city out. They don't let any food come in or any food go out. But again, that would have taken a long time because inside the walls of the city, they would have been cultivating vegetables. They would have been doing those things. So again, a really long time. Or the third way, this is what they did back in the day. They would take earth and they would push it against the wall for a long period of time that it would become like a ramp over the city. But again, that's not going to take a minute. That's going to take a long time. So each of these things could have taken years with a lot of casualties. But the Lord gave them success in 7 days with no casualties. Imagine that. But imagine as a strong man being told, put down your sword, pick up a ram's horn. Imagine what you would have felt like. But you know what I love about the story, what's so powerful about the story? It's never the way that we think. It's always in God's time and God's way. And when we do it God's way, we see success like never before. There was no way these 40,000 mighty men, although they were mighty, there was no way they could have achieved what the Lord did in 7 days without casualties. And I think there's a lesson to learn from us, for us there. There are so many things that we strive for, but we've got to make sure we include the Lord in every part of our day. But you think about this. How did they win? With praise. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So I wonder in your life or in my life, in our lives, what are some things in our life that we've been fighting for a long time? Are we praising Him? Are we giving Him glory? Are we coming and falling on our knees before the Lord and praising Him and giving it to Him? So what does it mean to praise? What does it mean? The Oxford Dictionary describes praise as the offering of grateful homage in words of song or acts of worship, a hymn or praise to God. You know, one of the Hebrew words for praise is a word called yada. Yada is the lifting of my hands. Yada is a verb with a root meaning the extended hand, to throw out the hand, therefore an extended hand towards worship. You see, the lexicon also describes the opposite meaning of yada is to bemoan, the wringing of hands. You know, that's often in life. When things don't go our way, what do? We kind of like this and we kind of just hold ourselves. How many times in life do we find ourselves a bit bitter or upset? And what do? We sit there and just allow bitterness to just swallow us up. And I love it. A mentor of mine said years ago, bitterness, being bitter towards someone, is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Half the time, they didn't even know. We're just sitting there in pain. They're living their life. I love the word yada and what it actually means. You know, all through Scripture, we see what the Lord tells us to do, how to fight battles, how to win, how to bring breakthrough to our life. Psalm 63 verse 1, I will lift up my hands in thy name. You go all through, or John 4:23, true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, the weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. Psalm 22 verse 3, but you are holy. You inhabit the praises of Israel. Psalm 149 verse 6, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. Psalm 40 verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise the Lord. But they're not only just verses. There are stories after story after stories where Scripture retells history of the answer to breakthrough being praise. In 2 Chronicles 20, you have King Jehoshaphat. He has two armies, two different nations coming towards him from different ways. And he goes to the Lord and he's like, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says, just praise. Get the people to praise. Don't worry about fighting. Have all the people go out and praise me before the armies. And as the story goes, it confused the other armies and they attacked each other. All these stories over and over again of how breakthrough comes. So this morning, in the few moments we have, and then after this, we're going to have a bit of a praise party. We're going to go for it today. Three keys to praise. The first one is we've got to praise Him in the valley. We're going to praise Him in the valley. Why? Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. You think about this. What is breakthrough? We're always talking about breakthrough. We want breakthrough. If we break that word down, what does it mean to have breakthrough? The definition of break is to separate into pieces as the result of a blow, shock, or strain. And then what does through mean? Moving in one side and out the other side. But I've said it before, often in life, we don't want a breakthrough. We just want a through. No one likes the breaking. The breaking sucks. Right? Who loves that? Lord, thank you for breaking. No, thank you. We just want a through. But you know what? If we're going to see breakthrough in our lives, it has to come through praise. We can do it on our own and we can take years to do it, or we can allow the Lord to do it supernaturally in a moment, but we have to involve Him. You know, sometimes we forget that we've got the Holy Spirit and we keep Him on the bench and we go, we've got this. I'm like, put Him on the field, involve Him. And what does that look like? To praise. You look at Paul and Silas in the New Testament. They were locked up in chains. And I don't know about you, but if I feel locked up for my faith, I'm feeling a bit low. You know what I mean? Let's be real. Being a Christian, I've said this before, it's not always rainbows and Skittles, right? We know that. Going to church. I mean, this church, it is beautiful and God's blessing it, but it's been through a few things. And sometimes it's been hard. And in those moments, I'm sure you haven't skipped down the street going, what a beautiful day. There's been moments. But I love Paul and Silas's response. They're in jail, locked up for their faith. Are they sitting there complaining, arguing? It's like, I told you not to speak so loudly. Told you not to get on the soapbox. Told you not to annoy the Roman soldier. He didn't even want prayer. They weren't like that. They just started praising, singing hymns. And as they did, those chains miraculously broke off. What is our posture when we go through things that we don't realize that we're going through? What's our posture when we can't see a way out? What's our posture when we feel like there are things around us on every side and we feel like it's closing in? What's our posture? Is it to praise? Is it to thank God? Because we've got to thank God in every situation. If we just thank God when things are going good, how are we any different to anyone else? Do we believe that the Lord is for us and not against us? You know, John 16, 33, in this life, you'll have trouble. I hate that verse, that part. It says, take heart, for I've overcome the world. We know trouble's coming. The question is, when we're in it, what do we do? Are we going to praise Him in the valley? And we know life throws curveballs. Things happen that we just never wanted to happen to us. But what are we going to do in those moments? When life's not going good, are we going to praise Him? When our marriage isn't great, are we going to praise Him? When our kids are frustrating us, Lord help, are we going to praise Him? When you don't get that promotion or work isn't going the way that you thought it would, are we going to praise Him? When we see something, a tragedy happen in our family, are we going to praise Him? What is our response when we find ourselves in the valley? Is it to praise Him? Because here's the other thing, and I know you know this, everyone's watching. Everyone's watching. There are a whole lot of people that are watching and going, you say you're a Christian? Let's see. Let's see. Are we going to praise Him? You know, I remember years ago that my dad had a heart attack when I was 17. And I remember being in absolute shock. I remember my mum walking into my room and telling me this, like, we're going to go to hospital. And it's like the world went a bit funny for me, I guess. And it's like I had no control. I felt like I was spiraling. And I remember feeling pretty low, feeling a bit low with myself. Wasn't sure if Dad was going to pass away. And then Mum's like, that's it. We're having a prayer meeting. I'm like, I don't even want anyone in our house, let alone hundreds of people. And every night, Mum had a prayer meeting. Every night, Mum had a prayer meeting. Because that's just what Mum did. Mum and Dad had prayer meetings. There was always a prayer meeting at a house. It was good. There was lots of food, but lots of prayer meetings. But I'm so thankful that my mum showed me our response in moments of despair. I'm so thankful because it served me well ever since. And when things are hard, when you don't got the words, that's what iPods are for. That's what music's for. That's what Spotify's for. I just showed my age by saying iPod. Wow, it's like this new device. It's coming. You're gonna love it. But if we don't know what's going on, you don't know the right words, just throw a song on. There are so many incredible songs that are prophetic, that speak into where we're at. The first one, get the team to come up. We've got to praise him in the valley. And the second, we're going to praise him on the mountaintop. You know, as Christians, we're horrible at praising when things are well, right? We're bad at it. We're good when things are bad because we turn to him. But when things are good, we forget. You know, there's this quote by from the church in China. It says, when faith becomes free, the value of Jesus drops. I want you to pray that persecution never leaves China. This is a secret believer in China saying this. Let me read it to you again. When faith becomes free, the value of Jesus drops. I want you to pray that persecution never leaves China. What an incredible statement. You know, one of the beauties of the Western world is the freedom in which we have to follow Jesus. One of the greatest dangers of the Western world is the freedom in which we have to follow Jesus. Because sometimes it doesn't cost us anything. You know, in the Old Testament, on the New Testament, when someone got baptized, you know, it changed everything for them, right? For some of them, they lost their family, they lost their friends, they lost their community because they turned away, like they were banished from their family for following Jesus. So it wasn't just I think I'll get baptized. It changed everything. It was a huge line in the sand. And same thing in many countries today. When people become a Christian, it changes everything. I remember watching my dad wrestle with it. My dad grew up Hindu and got saved later. And I remember watching this wrestle in him because he's like, I might lose my family. He's got brothers and sisters. And he's like, I don't know if they will still have relationship with me because I'm making this decision. We are blessed to live in a nation like New Zealand. But let's not get lazy. Do you know what we have right now and how beautiful it is by coming to church like this? And for most of us, we got up this morning and we thought, I'm going to go to church. And then you went to church. Do you know that doesn't happen in places around the world? Because in places around the world, they have to make sure that they're not followed. They have to make sure they don't have a tail. It's secretive because they're put to death for their faith. But yet they gather anyway. You know, not just because it's a good day. You know, and we are, and I'm talking about myself here, it's like, oh, it's cloudy, I don't know. It's rainy, the wind's coming. It's actually a bit hot, I might not go. You hear what I'm saying? In love. Anyway, remember, if there's anything that offends you, tony@curatechurch.com. But when the praises go up, the blessings come down. If you want to know how to release blessing into your life, favor into your life, it's easy. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. And again, if that word blessing kind of messes with you, good. I want it to. Because we're all called to live blessed lives. We're called to be the head and not the tail. I don't know which Bible you read, but my Bible tells me that I'm a conqueror. That I'm the head, not the tail. That I'm called to lead a life of influence and favor for His glory. That we're called to be the best of the best. You know, anyone that has you an employee should be thanking the Lord for it, because you should be the best employee in the business, because you have character. You don't cut corners. You make everyone around you better. You're the light and the salt. When you're in that environment, when you're in that atmosphere, when you're in that office, everyone lifts. They treat each other better, because that's how we're called to live. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So we're going to praise Him when we're in the valley, and we're going to praise Him when we're on the mountaintop. And then the third one, we're just going to praise Him in every season. Which way? We praise Him. When things are going bad, we praise Him. When things are going good, we praise Him. We praise Him every day, because we have breath in our lungs. And when there's breath in our lungs, we're going to remember who put the breath in our lungs. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So the question I have is, what kind of life do you want to live? I want to live a life on display. I want to make sure that I'm the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And you know what? I believe that's the type of church that we're called to be. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I'm praying that we live blessed lives in Jesus' name. So you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to put it into practice. So I want everyone to stand on their feet. And we've got time. I'm going to let the worship team loose for a little while, and then I'm going to come up and I'm going to pray over a few groups of people. But until that happens, you know, praising together is a declaration, and it's powerful. And in this moment, I'm praying that freedom enters your life. Things that have held you back in the past, things that have kept you captive, that they would be broken in Jesus' name. The same way things were broken over Silas and those chains were broken over Paul and Silas, in the same way the walls of Jericho came down, let's pray for that. Let's worship and declare the goodness of God, because when the praises go up, the blessings come down in Jesus' name.